This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It's the Thursday edition, October 30th, 2014. We're pleased that you chose this hour to be with us. We know it's challenging to balance your everyday lives and attend to the details of managing your retirement planning, keeping track of accounts, doing the things you need to do, and trying to grow your money. We're here to help. That's what the show is all about. And today I have with me Justin Klein.
Great to be here, Steve.
And we were going to talk about all kinds of things. I got more stuff lined up than I have time to talk about. So,
a lot in your mind, huh?
Yeah, well, I got all kinds of data I want to discuss. Anyways, whether you're a radio listener or you hear us streaming online or Go Anywhere app or you're a podcast subscriber, you're invited to jump right in. Bring your questions or comments to us anytime during this hour and beyond. You can do it after the hour. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART, and you can reach me right now. Now, because we're portfolio managers, our day job isn't always interested. I'm always interested to hear about our clients' past experience or their financial service providers or what they're doing. I do hear a lot of negative experiences. I do get those. And even one can color any one of those things can color your thinking over the years. So you have a negative experience with somebody. And it's just tough. It's always tough. The best thing you can do is think about how someone gets paid. When you're hiring somebody, a money manager or broker dealer or a certified financial planner, you always go back to how they get paid. That's the key. And do they really tell you how they get paid? How forthright are they? Do they rush you to make a decision? That's not good. I don't think they should ever rush you to make a decision. Never when it comes to your money. So don't let anybody do that. But again, going back to how they get paid, there's many ways people get paid. Our method is we are a registered investment advisor and we get a small piece paid to us quarterly of the portfolio we're managing. Now, some people get brokers. Some people get commissions from mutual funds or annuities or whatever they're selling you. That's how they get paid. And they don't divulge all that. Some of them, they don't have to divulge, so they don't. So be very, very careful out there when you're talking to someone who's going to help you manage your money. If you're ever unsure about a business you plan on working with, always take the extra time to investigate it. And, of course, you can always ask me. You give me a call and say, oh, I'm always here. You can call me at the office or email us. You can always reach us at some point. Now, you got a question about financial services, give me a call right now. We'll discuss it. We'll get it done. You can also talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, which is right now, or in between times. Just leave your question. Here's one of those questions of the day from my 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART. Oh, let's go to Dan in Woodside. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. A long-time listener, of course, daily on 1220 religiously. Just had a quick question. It may seem silly, but I've been holding off on making any new purchases on stocks I've researched until Monday because of the whole Black Monday thing. I just wondered what you thought about that. Is that a reason to have the jitters and be defensive, and what your guys' approach in your growth portfolio is toward the whole Black Monday end of October scenario?
Well, I actually have Black Monday newspaper for the Wall Street Journal sitting right over there in the corner.
Yes, you do, right here.
It's all dusty and yellow.
Pretty dusty. Tuesday, October 20th, 1987, stocks plummet 508. The Dow is what they're talking about.
That's 20%.
Yeah, that was 20% back then. Kind of interesting.
Wow.
Now, let's say this. The market has had about a 10% correction, and now it's made up probably 85% of that correction. It hasn't exceeded the top when the correction started, so there's still a little bit of hesitation in my mind, and I'm a little concerned about the transportation index that seemed to peak above its old high yesterday and the day before, and now today it fell pretty sharply on a big up day. That kind of concerns me. So I don't have any problem, Dan, with you waiting a few more days. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There seems to be no volume either, which makes me think short sellers are covering. Is that
well? This is definitely very characteristic of a short selling rally. Now that doesn't preclude it from being, you know, the beginning of a bigger rally, but you know the quickness of it and the V bottom that we had earlier this or middle of this month is very reminiscent of a short seller's rally, because usually when you have quick moves like this, this isn't real buyers that really want to hold on to the stock. They're just trying to cover positions when things move that fast. But like I said, it doesn't mean it's the it's a false rally, but you know you are right to be weary of it.
Yeah, if you look at the movement all along, you know, the market was moving up March, April, May, June. Volume was very low during that whole up move. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to know. Yeah. But be very careful, Dan. This is the area to be very careful with.
Yeah. We only have one day left of October.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. Is there a way to get it just right, exposure to the stock market, the stock and bond market? The Goldilocks investment. That's going to be one of our talking points today. There's three talking points I did not get to yesterday, and that was about the QE. Wanted to talk about that yesterday. Hopefully we can get to
it. You didn't get to that?
No. Dividend stocks. I had a list of a few dividend stocks that have very good growth numbers, so wanted to get to that. And why the market will rally to the end of the year. I have four reasons why it might rally to the end of the year. But today I also picked out, I want to talk about the GDP number for the third quarter that came out today. I thought that was, if you read the details, even though the number is 3.5%, there were some little tiny little red flags in the report that kind of concerns me that I think we need to share. Remember, these GDP numbers get revised. And if we do get to it, I want to talk about oil. And I want to talk about turning back our clocks this weekend. Don't forget, you've got to turn back
that
the clock.
That has money implications?
Well, you know, I thought just though what an interesting part. You know, there are certain states in the United States that don't do daylight saving time.
Yeah, I think, is it Arizona or Nevada?
Not Nevada. Arizona's right. Arizona. There's one other state. Anyways, hopefully we get to those. But, of course, first let's talk about what the market did. The market was up 221 points a day on the Dow. The NASDAQ was up 17 and the S&P up 12. The Dow led the way. I was on the back of one particular stock, Visa. Visa was, I don't know how much of that 221 points represented Visa, but a big majority of it was, a large chunk of it was, let's say that.
Yeah, the S&P was up 12, which was, you know, a decent day, but nothing.
That's a little over 0.5%. And the NASDAQ was only up a little over 1/3%. So it gave you the sense that the market was better than it was. And gold took a big hit today, gold. So we didn't have a good day because we have our gold positions really got hurt. So we have to think about what we're going to do with that. But that was the market. One day does not make a trend, but we're getting very, very close to its old high it made before it fell. And I noticed that the comeback has been in 2 weeks from a V bottom, but it took us a month to get down there.
Yeah, well, which is usually the opposite.
Exactly.
Usually it's the opposite. Usually it takes, you know, a couple of weeks to go down 10% versus...
It takes months to get it back.
Yeah, it stair steps up and elevator down. And
so it's odd.
We had a little bit of elevator action. I mean, it was definitely a stair step down for the end of September into the beginning of October, and then you had that
then
rush.
Then it collapsed, yeah.
We had that rush into the middle of October. And you had huge, huge volume on the 15th, and that's when, you know, we knew there'd be a bounce based on that with massive amount of volume, but you know how high that bounce is going to be, it's hard to know. And I think it's been a little bit quicker and bigger than I think anybody expected.
You usually expect a 50% bounce,
yeah,
but now it's been much quicker. Now, frankly, I expect it to give back half of that. You know, that the half of the big up move, because it was so fast on the upside.
Yeah, and I think we keep talking about this, the high yield market. It's still kind of, it's rebounded, but it's not making the headway for me that I would like to see it to get to a point where the high yield market is healthy again. It's recovered some, but to me it's still kind of precarious.
Of course, it was way over too right. strong.
Yeah.
Way, so it had to get back some of that.
Yeah, it went down about 5-6%, which you think in the bond market, or you think overall 5-6%, no, that's not a big deal. But in the junk bond market, you know, that's a pretty big move.
That's a big move. Now let's get you involved in the program, everybody. Do you have a question about the bond market we just talked about, just briefly? Should your portfolio really be more in bonds as you get older? Is that a wise thing to do? Check in now at 888-98-CHART. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. You can also follow us on Twitter and send a message to us via Twitter at InvestTalk, at InvestTalk with two T's. You can get your question to us any way you want. You can do it the old-fashioned way. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
We're glad you're with us today. InvestTalk is all about good information and answers. It's your job to bring the questions. The lines are open right now. We'll stop everything to talk about what's on your mind. You can reach Steve at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. That's our number, and I'm sticking with it. So give us a call. Let's talk about convertible bonds, a Goldilocks investment. What is a convertible bond? Okay, think of it as a regular bond that you get a certain yield for over a certain period of time. But also in addition to that, you get to convert it to common stocks or preferred stocks at a certain price within a certain time limit, usually the length of the bond, but sometimes not. And that is the benefit. If they also tell you the exact convertible rate, so if the stock is selling at $20 and they say they'll let you convert it at $22 over the length of that bond, and the stock goes up to $30 a share, of course you're going to convert it because you just made between $22 and $30 a share. So you want to do that. Well, and meanwhile, you're getting a yield.
Yeah, well, it's a hybrid security, and, you know, I think it's one of those investments that you use in specific times, you know, when you are bullish long term on a specific name, it can be a good way to get exposure. But like you said earlier, we were talking about earlier, there it's an illiquid market.
It's hard.
It's not easy to go out and buy a small number of shares or a small number of these types of bonds.
If you're you're multi-million-dollar money manager kind of guy, well, you could do it much easier.
Yeah.
If you're small, it's hard to find the good deals.
Yeah, and you're going to accept a little bit lower rate of return, the yield from these type of investments, which makes it even harder nowadays with yields are already small. You don't want to take another haircut.
Yeah.
But what that does is it buys you the option to buy those shares at a certain price, and, you know, it could be a lot higher than it is now, and that option might not be worth a lot. But, you know, if this is a 5, 10, 15-year bond, maybe, you know, by maturity time, it gets to that price or higher.
Wills, trusts, life insurance, college savings plans, are all brokerage accounts created equal? Just some of the topics to be tackled on our Wealth Workshop webinar coming up on November 12th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can register now at InvestTalk.com, InvestTalk with two T's, .com, and it's free.
We'd like you to know that coming up on the next Invest Talk, the great challenge is to try to figure out which pieces of data actually contain useful bits of information and which are just noise. Too much information. That's our talking point for Friday, October 31st. And we hope you'll listen to that podcast. And a reminder that you can join in the discussion live between 4 and 5 p.m. Call 888-99-CHART. 3. This is the Thursday, October 30th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. The great challenge is to try to figure out which pieces of data actually contain useful bits of information and which bits are just noise. Too much information. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, the Fed announced that they were going to cut QE. It's out. It's gone. Done. It'll be the last month of October, which is, what, tomorrow's the last day of October. No more QE. So everybody, including yours truly, thought that that should move up interest. As they were cutting down, back, then that should move up interest rates. But what's happened is the dollar got a lot stronger. And what happens is Europe has fallen into another recession. So it's attracting all these foreign buyers into our market, thus keeping interest rates down, regardless of one of the biggest buyers leaving, which was the Federal Reserve, our own Federal Reserve.
And the yields, the safe yields in Europe, which is basically Germany, right, those are even lower than our yields on our treasuries.
Yeah, so why would they buy it? Yeah. You've got the economy is tanking, yields are very low, so why not come to America and buy theirs? And, of course, that drives down to our yields. And everybody is concerned about the Fed having $4.5 trillion on their balance sheet. And yeah, as I think about that over time, I don't see how that's a big problem, really.
Well, they can't. They certainly can't sell any.
They just
sell
it mature.
Well, they're actually still reinvesting it.
Yeah, but you know, when you think about it, our whole economy is what, $13 trillion a year, and you have $4.5 trillion held by the Federal Reserve. I don't see how that's a problem. Some of the countries in Europe, I think Switzerland is one, they own as much debt in their central bank as their annual GDP. We have a third or a fourth. So it's not like that big. I mean, it's big because we've never done it before. It's surprisingly big because of that. But what damage, you know, everybody's thinking about damage to the economy. I'm thinking, I don't know what damage it can be. I can't figure out how it's going to really hurt us if they decided to hold on to the debt or just roll it.
If they roll it, but they have to, you know, it's really about liquidity in the marketplace. Is how does the market handle the lack, that less liquidity? It's really what it is. Because
right,
printing money and doing QE is adding liquidity to the marketplace. Just how much can the bond market really handle less liquidity? And so far, you know, they're done with QE, and
but the debt that the Federal Reserve is holding,
yeah,
has nothing to do with that unless they sell it or let it mature.
The whole point is the flow of money. QE has created a flow of money into the market, and particularly the bond market.
I get that.
And now that's gone. And how does that market handle no money liquidity coming from QE? From the Fed. But now, 0% interest rates is a form of liquidity.
Yeah, that's pretty liquid.
Yeah.
But still, as they're holding on to $4.5 trillion, you had a lot of writers saying that in and of itself is a problem. And I'm saying, I don't think that in and of itself is a problem. I can't understand why that would be such a damaging thing to either the economy, liquidity, because we can have a QE4. Yeah, I can see that coming. Or, you know, the interest rates are very low. Anyway, just a point. You come first on the program. Our first job is to answer your questions. 888-99-CHART is where you ask anytime.
Good afternoon, Steve and Justin. This is Frank in Walnut Creek. I'm calling about a particular stock called Lyondell Basell, LYB. And I'm interested in it because it took a fairly good hit about a couple of weeks ago when the CEO announced his departure, and it's kind of sitting in there, but it looks like a good organization, and I would like you to review it for us and tell me what you think. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, that's pretty darn interesting since we bought this stock today.
Yeah, we don't fake these calls. No call you'll ever hear on our show is a fake call, so no. We didn't set this up, but yeah, randomly we did buy this for clients today.
Lyondell Basell Industries, it's out of the Netherlands. It's a Netherlands-based manufacturer of polypropylene compounds, polyethylene, all those polys, okay? That's what it's
a chemical company, chemical manufacturer.
And one of the things I liked about it is what's their raw material that they make these ethylenes and polyolines? What do they make that out of? Oil. And what has oil prices been? I kind of like that. And it did have a nice pullback. It's going to make $9.11 next year after making $8.45 this year after making $6.79 last year. Pretty decent earnings growth with a decent yield of 3.1%. It is a $46 billion company. It's not small. It's big. Big blue chip.
And they increased their dividend earlier this year.
Selling for $91. That means it's a 10 PE, everybody.
Yeah, and modest amount of debt. 46% debt-to-equity ratio means that, you know, they're not encumbered by big debt balances, which I think is very, very important, especially in today's day and age when, you know, a lot of companies have taken on a lot of debt. And, you know, the ability to sustain that debt is always very important.
So we like it. LYB. We like it a lot. We bought it today. 888-99-CHARGE is our number, 888-992-4278. You're listening to Invest Talk. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Our next day for portfolio reviews is in San Ramon, and that's November 19th. Would you like a second opinion on your retirement account? This is something I'm happy to do for a limited number of our listeners. Just go to investtalk.com and then click on Make an Appointment, or you can call 888-99-CHARGE. Follow the prompts.
Listening to Invest Talk. Would you like to improve your 401k at work? You can't do it alone. Go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin. On the message, just write 401k. In return, you'll get some very useful information on how to move forward in making changes. You're invited to bring any money question right now to Steve, 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Gautam in Dublin. How you doing, Gautam?
Yeah, hi. Doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I'm watching this company in 3D printing. It's called 3D Systems.
Yes.
And it's down. It's at annual low. I've been watching it for about more than a year now. It still has high PE, but I would like to get your opinion. It's a good time to get in on 3D.
3D Systems, the symbol is DDD. It manufactures printing, prototyping, and manufacturing systems to produce 3D optics from a computer data. So it's printing products. It's kind of neat. We talked about this. This was very popular a year or so ago. And at that time, we were saying, man, it's just way too expensive. Way, way too expensive. Mm-hmm. And it was selling, what, for like $95 a share?
High of about 97.
Okay, and today it's at 37. So for all those people that didn't believe us when we were saying it's too expensive, well, it was way too expensive. And even today, I can't tell you it's cheap. It's not cheap. It's still fairly expensive. It's just a lot cheaper than it was.
It's cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to make $1.06 next year, and it's a $37 stock. So that's about a 35 P.E.
And the biggest issue here is profitability. While sales are still going up, sales aren't as nice as they were a few quarters ago. They're only going up about 25% versus 50% a few quarters ago. Earnings are now dropping about 20 to 30% per quarter year over year. And their margins have dropped pretty dramatically. In 2011, their margins were about 15%. Now they're all the way down to about 6%. So, you know, just because this is through DDD, 3D, you know, systems, and this seems like the number one company that you would invest with to take advantage of 3D printing, it's showing you that there's a lot of competition out there. You know, this isn't something that nobody can do. There's other companies in that sector, and, you know, whatever they're doing either isn't good enough, I mean, somebody else is doing it better, or maybe just all the companies in the industry are are pushing on each other, and pricing is coming down.
General Electric's getting into it big time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the – that's a big competitor. Yeah. So I just don't think it's cheap enough to – it has gone down tremendously. Got them. But I just don't think it's cheap enough to really to buy yet.
Yeah,
I think it would be a little bit more patient.
And do they have any competitive advantage that make their 3D system printing systems better than other 3D printing companies?
Yeah.
Do you know that, Gautam?
Yeah.
No, not in particular. I don't think they are more on the consumer side. They have a competition with Stratasys, which is more on the industrial 3D printers.
Right. Yep.
But,
I think it's an exciting field, and I think it's going to just do nothing but grow in the future. You know, and if it gets cheap enough, it would attract me to buy it. It would.
It's just not, I don't think it's there yet. You know, a lot of these things, they go back to where they broke out from, and this broke out at about $20 a share, and now it's at $37. So I could easily see it going back down into that area, $20 a share, maybe $25. That's where I would maybe start thinking about it, but it has to arrest its problems with profitability.
Yeah, it has to increase its margins.
Yeah, if it can at least, it doesn't increase it, just have it stop going down, you know, to you have some sort of understanding of where profitability will be going forward. And right now, as it continues to go down, nobody knows. It could keep going down, and they could not be profitable in 2 years. You don't know.
Thanks, God. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Let's go to Rick in San Mateo. How you doing, Rick?
Oh, hi, Steve and Justin. Both of you guys are great. I just want to tell you that first.
Thanks.
So today I was a buyer of GDX and GDXJ, the junior miners. And I know you guys have the gold position, and you were talking about it a little bit earlier, but where do you see things going from here as far as, like, the gold mining stocks?
Well, GDX broke down pretty significantly today. I don't know if we want to. It would be a place to be a seller, not necessarily a buyer, until it at least stabilizes.
Yeah, it's got to show some sort of reversal sign, and you know, it started to show that earlier this month, and then it just slowly whittled that away
and
broke down the last couple of days. And you know, you could have a big reversal, but it's going to have to be in gold. Gold is going to have to turn around. Now, gold hasn't made new lows. It has. It's still above where it was in the lows of the month, but it's got to do something soon. Otherwise, you know, it's gonna continue down, maybe below $1,000 an ounce. You know, Steve and I talked a little bit earlier about there's a Swiss referendum coming up next month. If they vote yes on this, the central bank is gonna have to buy a bunch of gold. You know, is that going to ignite the market? That's a potential catalyst, but you know, it's hard to know if that's enough to get the turn the gold market around.
Rick, thanks for the call.
All right,
appreciate it.
Keep an eye on it.
Okay,
all right,
yeah.
Thank you,
Rick. GDX, everybody. That's a gold miners ETF. Is what it is. Gold miners ETF. Okay, let's talk about the economy. They had some GDP numbers out for the third quarter. This is the first look at GDP, and it went up, we grew at 3.5%. Just as a reminder, the second quarter we grew at 4.6%. The first quarter is 0.1%. Okay, so that gives you an idea.
First quarter was a positive?
Yes, by 0.1%.
When did they revise that? I don't remember.
They revised that.
I don't remember it being revised. I remember it being revised up, but not to a positive.
Yeah.
Really?
0.1%. Trust me on this.
I believe you.
So now why? See, this is, I always like to always read the top line number. They report the top line number.
Look under the hood. It's like the durable goods report. Remember, was it a month, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
You had huge
20-something percent. Then the following month, it was down 18.
Yeah, because there's huge aircraft orders and that 20%.
And then they fell off the very next month.
So you always have to look under the hood.
Yeah. And so durable goods actually is falling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if you throw out the aircraft. But what I found very interesting is, why did it go up so much? And there was a huge splurge in export, 7.8%, while imports dropped to 1.7%. So that huge splurge of exports did it. That was a very big, that's one of the major things. And why that makes me a little bit nervous is exports going to Europe and China, are not going to be the same going forward. They're starting to fall.
Yeah, with the dollar strong, there's no way you keep up with that export number.
So you're not. So my theory is you won't get that particular boost. Okay, in the fourth quarter. Also in this third quarter, there was a huge boost from federal outlays, particularly 16% boost in defense spending. That's not going to be repeated in the fourth quarter. There's going to be some defense spending, but not that huge of an outlay. Okay?
Is that because of ISIS?
Don't know why. You know, government buys things, and sometimes it falls within a particular quarter or not. And the traditional thing that the GDP is driven by is consumers, right? Our consumers going forward. Consumer spending, that's the main engine of our economy. And that slowed to 1.8% in the third quarter from 2.5% from the prior quarter. Those three things gave me a pause as to, is this number going to, first of all, they're going to revise it downward? And I kind of think that we have to say, yeah, well, it's a good report. You can't get away from it's a good report. It is.
I'll add to that. Another thing that would worry me is the business investment on equipment rose 7.2%. Now, I guarantee you a lot of that is in the oil industry. That's where a lot of the investment is going in our country is into fracking because, you know, we have so much reserves and there's a lot of economic activity in that sector. And now with oil prices going down, now they're still profitable. We talked about that. They're still profitable at $80 a barrel. They're definitely going to slow down that investment in fracking.
And wasn't that 12% the quarter before and it went down to 7%?
On business investment?
Yeah.
It just says rose 7.2. I don't know what it was last quarter.
Yeah, I thought it said further in that same sentence how much it was. Anyways, those
are... Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, 11.2.
Okay, 11.2. Down to
7.2.
Yeah. And still growth, everybody. Don't misunderstand what we're saying here. Yeah. It's still growth.
Yeah.
It's just less growth.
Well, if you look at the price of oil, it really peaked in late June, which was June, July, August.
$100 a barrel or so.
Yeah, and got down to about $80 a barrel or $90 a barrel by the end of the quarter.
Right.
And now it's around $80 a barrel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is that going to...
I'm just saying I don't think our fourth quarter is going to look nearly as good as our third and second quarter. It just doesn't seem like we're set up to have it. Our consumers would have to step up big time. And we are growing jobs, so maybe they will. There's hints that this Christmas season is going to be pretty big, but we'll see. We'll just have to take
a wait and see. What's the total now annualized for the year supposed to be?
Well, you can do it. One tenth of 1% in the first quarter, 4.6% in the second quarter, and now 3.5%. You know, so you can kind of
low twos.
Yeah,
low to mid twos.
Yeah, maybe the mid twos.
Yeah,
we'll see. Invest Talk Insiders have access to our complete library of past wealth webinars on our whole range of investing topics. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com. It's free. You can scroll down to the Join Now button right there. Next to Invest Talk Insider.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
Hi, my question is, I always hear you guys talk about not buying and holding, but what if your portfolio is heavy on dividend payers? If you don't buy and hold, how then can a person get the reinvested dividends to compound over time? It would seem to me, by not buying and holding, it would be counterproductive. Thanks, and looking for your answer.
Well, I don't think I've ever said don't be a buy and holder.
Yeah, I think we just say most people do not have the wherewithal to handle buy and hold.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with holding on to a core group of stocks and just hold on to them forever. There's nothing wrong with it. You've heard me on this radio say, well, this is a stock you'd buy, put it in a drawer, and just ignore for 20 years. like ExxonMobil. If you get it cheap enough, you can buy it and just ignore it.
Yeah, and you're not going to expect giant returns, but you'll get steady returns with those dividends and slow capital appreciation.
So if you have a core group of stocks that are you got at very good prices with a pretty darn high yields and you bought them for the dividend yield, just ignore them. Put them in a drawer and forget about
it. The problem is, you know, stocks go down 20, 30, 40% or more. It was 50-something, I think, from the peak to trough from 2007 2009. You know, a lot of people can't handle that. And guess what? They get emotional.
And they sell it right at the bottom.
Right at the bottom.
Sell it right at the bottom. Yep.
And so, you know, don't get it mixed up here that we think you shouldn't buy and hold. I think we all think that's a good strategy if you pick the right solid companies
and buy them right.
Buy them right, yeah. Buy them, yeah. Not buy them, you know, when the market is just roaring and soaring, and think that you can buy and you're gonna do great over the next 15
years. For instance, like 3D, the DDD. Don't buy it at 100 and say, oh, gee, I'm gonna hold this forever. And as it goes down to 40, doesn't have a dividend, has nothing to.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not a buy and holder type stock.
Yeah, exactly. That's not, and a lot of people think about the tech industry.
Yeah.
Back in the tech boom, think about how people bought and hold because they got excited about the tech industry and they held through, you know, through the big.
And they're still not even.
And they're still not even on a lot of stocks. So, you know, it all depends on what you're buying, what your time horizon is, and what your ability, your wherewithal to handle volatility.
Palmer got HSI question to Palmer got his question to us via Twitter. Please share we're going to talk about Vodafone, VOD. He also wanted us to look at Verizon, AT&T. We can't look at
Well, he wants to compare it.
Well,
to
you can't
AT&T
do that on the show, everybody. You can't we can't sit and spend 20 minutes looking at each one of, you know, comparing all one with the other.
Well, I think what he wants to say is, you know, why would you buy Vodafone over something like AT&T and Verizon? And Vodafone is a United Kingdom company, so it's not a company here in the United States. And the problem with Vodafone right now is earnings are just getting crushed. They made almost $5 a share in 2011. Next year, they're only supposed to make $1.05 a share. That's a huge drop in the span of 5 years. The yield 7%, that's nice. But, you know, if you're looking at Verizon, for example, that yields 4.4%, which is not as nice, but their earnings growth is steady. They made $2.15 in 2011, and they're supposed to make $3.82 next year. So you can see the big difference in the growth of their earnings. And AT&T looks pretty similar to Verizon, not quite as good a growth, but they also have a little better dividend, 5.3.
Right.
So kind of AT&T's, you know.
So which one should you buy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You had. I wouldn't buy Vodafone myself, personally.
No.
I would buy AT&T or Verizon because I like the dividends. They look very healthy and steady. And you just want to buy the stock cheaply. Just as we were saying before, these two might be a buy and hold if you can get it cheap enough.
Yeah. Now, Vodafone's probably not going to go out of business or anything like that. And their dividend is pretty safe. But at the same time, you know, you can't have profitability erode to that degree for such a long time.
We're still welcoming your call as we move into the final segment of the day. 888-99-CHART is our number. Do you have a question about one of our topics that we've been discussing? Maybe you want to discuss it more. Or, of course, any money matter that comes to mind, we'll be happy to talk about it. Call us, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber, and we do want to hear your investing experiences. We've all grown over the years through our experiences, good and bad. You get to be anonymous, and the rest of us will enjoy knowing that we're not the only one to make a turn when maybe we should have gone straight. So we hope you'll join us on the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is Invest Talk. A challenging thought now from Warren Buffett.
profit, wide diversification is only required when investors do not understand what they are doing. We're glad you invested this hour with us. Once again, here's portfolio manager Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Well, why would the market rally toward the end of the year? Why would it do that? Now, I'm not saying it's going to do that. What I'm saying is, why would it? What are some of the arguments on that side? Because we've been talking about arguments on the other side, but what about arguments that it might go up? I mean, we mentioned it in the past. First of all, the economy. The economy is still growing. Look what happened. We had 3.5% growth this year. Yeah, this quarter. Yeah, it's probably slowed down, but it's still growing. Very unlike Europe and China, who's slowing, and Europe, who may be falling into recession.
No, China's still growing. It's just
kind growing.
Of falling apart.
Yeah.
It's growing and falling apart at the same time.
The trend of our market is still up. No matter how you cut it, you got to say that the trend is still up.
I would say it's neutral.
Well, it can't look at the.
Well, you made a lower low. You made a lower low in this month.
In this correction.
Yes, and you still haven't made a new high. So
not,
to me,
not yet.
To me, it's neutral. So when you say the trend is still up, I would say the trend is neutral because you have you don't necessarily yet have a lower high, but you do have a lower low.
You mean a higher high?
So no, what I'm saying is. It's for me. It's for the market to.
You said you don't yet have a higher high.
For the market to have to be in a downtrend, you have to have lower lows and lower highs.
Correct.
We haven't made a lower high yet, but we've made a lower low. So to me, it's neutral until you make a new high.
We also have seasonality in our favor. Usually, the market is better in the winter months than it is in any other part of the year. So. Those are the things that look strong, but also you notice that the doom and gloomers, are kind of given up. So now that might mean that we have one more big rush up because everybody's kind of given up and thinking, okay, the market's
short
back
covering
down
rally.
Yeah, that might mean that. So
well, maybe that's what this is.
It could be. See, I'm not trying to tell you. These are four reasons why it could be that the market will rally to the end of the year. It has a strong tendency to do so.
It usually starts more towards Thanksgiving.
Yeah, starts in November.
Usually more Thanksgiving.
Usually bottoms in October. And what did it do? It bottomed in October. So far, it's playing out the scenario that it is normal.
Yeah. And you usually have the most volatility in October and November. So you've seen that in October. The question is, will that carry over to...
Of course. But I don't want everybody to be ultra-negative on the market. There's no really reason. Earnings have come in at 8% plus growth this last quarter. Much better than the
what
quarter
percentage
before. We have about...
What percentage have reported?
About 70, 75%. So right. Most of them have reported. And the growth rate is pretty darn strong. And there wasn't a lot of warnings by CEOs on the next quarters. Now, we do have worries, but they've been with us all year long, and that's Europe, you know, and it's been a big worry. We still have ISIS, you know, taking over Iraq. We still have the Ebola problems. We still have China slowing down.
I mean,
you don't think Russia is going away? It's not going away. That problem still exists.
I don't think ISIS, Ebola, or Russia really have much to do. I mean, that's just headlines. To me, it's really about Europe and China.
Yeah, but everybody kind of knows that Europe is falling into recession. All I'm thinking is everybody knows these things. It depends on how bad it is.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is what people should be more worried about, I think, is China. There is such a massive amount of debt there, and if they run into similar troubles like we had in 2007, 2008, then that could carry over to the rest of the world. But like you said with Europe... Biggest risk with Europe is the peripherals. You know, Greek bond yields hit, I think, 10% a couple weeks ago. I think they're still around high eights. So if that has another spike, you know, maybe we have a revisit of the European crisis.
Before we close the hour, a reminder about our wealth workshop online. It's a live webinar coming up on November 12th, 6:30 Pacific time. You'll be able to ask questions about any aspects of retirement planning. Or about 401ks and annuities. Sign up for free at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley with Justin Klein today. And for everybody at KPP Financial, we thank you very much for listening and hope you can join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.